Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. One day, believers will walk the streets of the New Jerusalem. Our sole focus will be the praise and worship of Almighty God. If this is true, is it not reasonable that God's glory should be our focus now? Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is Nothing Else Matters, How the Glory of God Gives Meaning to All of Life. As we consider God's glory in our worship, we think back to how the people of Israel worshiped.
Chapter 29 of Exodus, verse 43. The preceding verse says, I will meet with you to speak with you there. Verse 43, I will meet with the people of Israel, and it, that is the sanctuary and the altar, shall be sanctified by my glory. I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar. Aaron also and his sons I will consecrate to serve me as priests. Notice, oh, this is so beautiful. You came to church for many reasons today. May it be said that you came for this. I will dwell among the people of Israel, and I will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Wow. Notice that the manifest presence of God involves the dwelling of God among his people. It means the communication of God. God says there, when I manifest myself, I'm going to speak with you, the Lord says. It means the leading of the Lord, because you discover that the cloud led them by day, the pillar of fire by night, and therefore the people were constantly led of God. It says when the cloud didn't depart, the Israelites stayed there, and then when the cloud departed, they followed it. Imagine such nearness to God that you know what the next step should be based upon his revelation and his glory. Israel had all of that. Now, if you ask the question, why is it that you have all of these regulations regarding altars and sacrifices and tabernacles and altars of incense, etc., etc., what in the world is going on? Remember this. The reason for all of that is God says, I want to dwell among my people without contaminating myself and without compromising my holiness. And so for that, God instituted what we call the sacrificial system so that he could dwell with his people despite their sin. His presence would always be mediated. Nobody would be in his presence directly except the high priest in the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement. That was it. Because God says, there's a part of me that can dwell with you, but because of sin, there's always going to be a barrier that needs to be crossed. And the sacrificial system in the Old Testament was intended to take care of that barrier, at least temporarily. So what we can see here is the definition of God's glory, his revelation, and now we get to the very sobering reality, the withdrawal of God's glory. There are times when God left because he could no longer put up with the people's sin, their unrepentant sin. Now notice this, and now we're in chapter 33. I want to read the first few verses and then explain to you why they are there. Chapter 33, verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, okay, that's a Lutzerian translation, that's a footnote I threw in. Depart, go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your offspring I will give it. I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and the Megabites. I'll give you my blessing and my protection. Because he says, if I go up among you, I'm in the last part of verse 3, I will perhaps consume you because you're very, very stiff-necked. All right, everybody now a Bible student right here. Why is God threatening to take away his glory and his visible presence among his own people? And the answer, of course, is because of idolatry. You'll notice in chapter 32, it's the story of the golden calf. The idols in our lives will always cause the glory of God to be diminished. And because the people turned aside, they wanted a God that they could quantify, a God that they could follow visibly. They wanted a God who was able to allow them to have sexual rituals because Jehovah was very strict about those things. And so they made their own God. And like Calvin says, our minds are idol factories. And that's why I'm saying that this series of messages is going to demolish our idols, because we can't experience this presence of God as long as there is sin in our lives, sin that competes with God. Idols always compete. I have never seen the show American Idol. I just can't seem to get into the excitement of it all. But isn't it true that idols always compete? Now, was there another time? And by the way, what did Moses say? Oh, this is so beautiful. And we have to read it. Verse 11 of this chapter 33. 33:11. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. What a beautiful statement. Now, I'm telling you more than you really need to know about me, but I'm not on Facebook. I get all of these invitations, you know, would you be my friend on Facebook? And I'm thinking, you know, life is so short. Well, for my father, it wasn't exactly, but most of the time, life is so short. And I say to myself, one of these days, I guess I'll be on Facebook. But why is it that we like to have face-to-face? It isn't enough to simply phone somebody. Nowadays, you want Skype, because you want to see people directly, and imagine Moses did, like a man speaks to his friend. What honor Moses had. You think he has greater honor than we do? Listen, you listen to this series of messages. I'm going to prove to you scripturally that we have an honor as great as his. But that awaits another message. Now, Moses says, if you don't go up with me, he says, leave me here. He says, if I have found favor in your sight, consider too that these people are your people. And God says in verse 14, there it is, verse 14 of 33, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And Moses said to him, if your presence doesn't go with us, do not bring us up from here. Moses said, I'd rather be in the desert and have your presence than in the promised land with all of its bounty without your presence. God says, Moses, I'll give you my provision and I'll give you my power, but my presence won't go up. And Moses said, I don't care about your provision and your power. I don't care if you send an angel to destroy our enemies. If you do not go with us, we're not going anywhere. Because Moses says, how else are we going to be known as the people who are distinguished from the other nations? And how are we as believers in Jesus Christ, how are we to be distinguished from all other peoples? The answer, of course, is very clear, because of the dwelling of God among us. It is the distinguishing mark of God's children. And then later on, Moses again says to God, show me your glory. And you know the rest of that story. He couldn't see God directly, but God says, I'll give you a glimpse. He hid him in a cave. The story is there. And Moses saw God, at least partially. Wow. Now, so much for what is it that causes the glory to depart? Sin. Ezekiel has a vision of the temple in Jerusalem that was built by Solomon and was destroyed by the Babylonians. In chapter 9, he sees the glory of God, the Shekinah glory, the shining glory. He sees it go to the threshold of the building. Chapter 10, he sees it on the wall, the eastern wall of Jerusalem. And then the next chapter, 11, he sees it at the Mount of Olives, and it disappears. The glory of God left Israel. When they came back, they built the temple under Zerubbabel, you remember. But did you know that the glory never returned? The glory never returned. It did in Solomon's temple, but not in Zerubbabel's. Did that stop them from having meetings? No. And there may have been some really good believers among them, but there are plenty of churches that continue their ritual, even if the glory departs. See, that's what Jesus was referring to in the Gospels, where he said to the Pharisees, "You honor me with your lips. You've got the ritual down, but your heart is far from me." And so the glory of God departs, and his presence departs because of sin. How is this glory restored? How do we pursue the glory of God? For this last passage, I'll ask you to turn to Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40. Now, in the 40th chapter, you have this summary of all the things that Moses did and the building of the tabernacle. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I do have to ask you a question today. How valuable is the glory of God to you? You've just been listening to part of a message on a series entitled Nothing Else Matters. I was sitting in the living room of a friend, and several of us were discussing revival. We were discussing Jesus Christ. And suddenly it dawned on me that really nothing else matters except whether or not God gets glory from our lives. I told the congregation here at the Moody Church that I, before I get out of bed every morning, I did it this morning, hope that I'll do it again tomorrow morning, I pray a simple prayer. Today, O Lord, glorify yourself in my life at my expense. Can you pray that prayer? In a moment, you're going to be given information as to how these messages can be yours, because we want you to have them, to be able to listen to them again and again, share them with your friends, extend to others the knowledge that we are gaining as we discuss this most important subject. Most of all, as you approach your day, would you simply ask God to display His glory? Accept everything that happens to you as from His hand, and His glory will be revealed in your life by faith.
Erwin Lutzer with more of God's glory in our worship. The first message in a 9-part series on Nothing Else Matters, how the glory of God gives meaning to all of life. Next time, more on how our sins hide the glory of God. We'd like to send you the entire series on the glory of God on CD. It's our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.